You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. I'm Jeff Metters, Director of Theology and Content at Send Network, and I'm here with President of Send Network, Vance Bittman.
Jeff, good to hang with you today, man. Excited to get to record another version of the podcast together. And for all those that are listening, we just want to, right out of the gate again, just say thanks for tuning in. We're so honored that you would give us some of your time to lean in and listen to what's going on around the country and around the world as it pertains to church planting. We're honored to get to host this today. And Jeff, it's great to get to do it with you, man. You doing well?
Doing great, brother. Doing great. It's a joy to work with you and record these together. And I remember hearing a while ago, and you've said on another podcast too, that you thought you were going to go into broadcasting.
Broadcasting. I went to college to major in radio, television, and film. And it was until I was a freshman in college is when I came to Christ, and I was already getting my degree in communications, doing radio, television, film. I was working as a 30-hour-a-week on-air personality radio station and really kind of had this dream to do sports radio. I recorded a podcast a few weeks ago called The Gospel and Gridiron. It's hosted by a couple of guys, used to be on ESPN and USA Today Sports, and it's about the gospel, it's about football, and it was like, wow, my two worlds collided. It was the best day of my life. I had a blast. It was so much fun. But yeah, that was kind of what I thought I was going to do, and then God redirected me a different direction.
Yeah, I could totally have seen you doing that. You've got a great voice for it, great personality for that. But here we are, podcasting. It's bringing them together.
This is bringing it all back.
That's right. This is Dally. And on today's show, we are going to talk about identifying and raising up the next generation of leaders to not just wait and lead, but to lead now. And to do that, we have a great guest on the show. Our guest is Troy Nesbitt. Troy Nesbitt is the president of SALT Network, which is a family of churches within Send Network. And SALT, what began as a parachurch ministry, really under his leadership, they've transitioned now to a church-based ministry and eventually a church planting movement focusing on planting in major university cities, reaching the city and the campus. Today, SALT is more than 29 churches in 15 states, engaging more than 8,000 college students throughout SALT Company, their college ministry there and local churches. Troy is married to Pam, and together they've got a bunch of kids and grandkids. And Troy, welcome again to the New Churches Podcast, brother.
Well, I'm really happy to be here. Happy to hear about Vance's redirection. He's a way better president of Sin Network than he would have been a sports announcer.
Amen.
He only cares about one team, the Roll Tide. Got to get him hooked on SALT Network because we want to win every time. And the only way we can do that is to get every campus on our team. So
there you go. Well, you got so many campuses represented right now. I mean, it's funny, this episode that we're playing now is recording now. It's going to record a little later in April, but you texted me at the beginning of March Madness, like all the options you had to win because so many schools represented in the March Madness tournament that you could win. You could have a winning bracket like 29 different ways. It was so cool.
I had 11. We had 11 in the men's tournament and we had 13 in the women's tournament. And so, you know, and we got a chance to win them both. So I'm going SALT all the way.
That's like, reminds me of Kevin Ezell when he watches the Olympics. He's adopted kids like three or four different countries. And so he said he has many chances to win in the Olympics. So it's great. And Troy, that's something else you and I share, not just a passion for planting and a passion for collegiate sports, but we're both granddads, man. We've been this for a while and we're enjoying the benefits of being grandfathers.
Yeah, I had the joy of being in one of our churches in Madison, Wisconsin this year, where my dad was the first believer in his family, and my two oldest grandsons got baptized, and so they were the first fourth generation baptized from my dad's, and it was so fun to be there with him and to be there with them.
And how cool is that it happened in one of the churches that God's allowed you guys at SALT to be about planting? Like, that's just like the gift that keeps on giving right there. That is so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Wow. Well, today we want to talk about another important subject is, you know, Sin Network, we have a vision to reach the 1% of lostness in North America in the next decade. And to do that, we need to plant thousands of churches. And thousands of churches means thousands of church planting teams. We need leaders. And so Troy, in your experience there with Salt Network and Salt Company, what are some of the key characteristics or qualities that define potential leaders?
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for having me. First of all, I'm really excited to be here. And I hope that I can get more of us excited about reaching college students. Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing that we need to decide as churches is that if we're going to reach the next generation, we have to have next generation leaders. I read somewhere in a Barna survey that the number one indicator of who's going to come to your church is the age of your senior leader. And so if your senior leader is three decades disconnected from the emerging generation, it's going to be difficult to reach them. And so we need to have pastors who can identify. If you're a pastor, you know, you tend to identify really well with a decade either side of yourself. And if you're really good, you can get two decades. Nobody gets the third decade. Vance and I have been talking about being grandparents, and we know that our grandkids can do stuff better already with their phone than we can. And so we have to choose, hey, this has to be a focus. We need young leaders, and we need to give them real leadership. People say college students are difficult to reach, and we don't believe that at all. We, in fact, believe they're the easiest to reach. They're the most difficult for churches to focus on. And so, you know, number one, you just need to say, we have to get the next generation leaders, and you have to make that a part of your ministry and a focus. In our churches, Vance, as you know, the last ministry we would ever cut would be our college ministry. And the reason that we do that is we believe parents are responsible to raise their kids. In our churches, we want to help them reach kids, but it's really the parents' job. And we also know that even kids that are in really healthy churches, when they go to college, they might make way different decisions. And so, Jeff, first of all, I would just say, if you're going to get next generation leaders, you need to start where they're making decisions, which is the college student. And I've said this many times. I'm going to say it every time I have the opportunity. We believe they are the most reachable, trainable, and sendable people group on earth. But you have to have personnel and people to give attention to them. And so what we're looking for, first of all, is that liminal age group, 18 to 22. Most people make life-altering decisions during that period of their life. It's generally when you find your spouse. It's generally when you decide what career you're going to have. And it is also genuinely where you lay a foundation for what your faith is going to be. And so that would be the first place. Start there. And then the other thing is you need to make sure that your church has not become a church that is no longer understanding the emerging generation. I remember when one of our guys came to me, I was leading Cornerstone Church of Ames, a church that was planted with Salt Company back in 1994. And one of our leaders came up to me and he said, Troy, how old is too old to lead a next generation church? And I think I was still 49, just maybe had just turned 50. And I thought, well, I don't know. You know, I still feel really young. And then he said, well, when you were my age, what did you think about a guy your age? And I'm not saying that you need to give up being a senior pastor when you're 50. But I do think that our churches need to have young leaders that really are leading for people to be able to see, oh, yeah, there's something I can do, something I can be a part of. And so I transitioned, you know, to leading the network when I was 56. And so, but we're trying to raise up young leaders all the time, and we're trying to give them real platform.
Vance, when you think about some of the, you know, your 20 plus years of being involved in church planting, residencies, your church out in Vegas planted multiple churches. Briefly, what are some of the key characteristics or qualities that you think define potential leaders?
Yeah, I think we're looking for, obviously, people of influence. I mean, Maxwell's the one who defined leadership as influence. And if you're wanting to raise up potential leaders, I think you need to find people that are already influencing where they are. I think with some mentorship, some pouring into them, you can raise their level of influence. But you're not going to take somebody who's not influencing people and all of a sudden make them an influencer. So you're looking for people that already have influence. You're looking for people that, in my perspective, I always look for people that already walked in intimacy with the Father. I was looking for people that were already walking with Jesus. Now, not that they were all that they needed to be, but they had an intimacy about them in their own personal walk with Jesus, where they were living out of the overflow and you could see and smell Christ in them. Third, I look for people that had integrity, people that were walking with integrity, that were living in such a way that who they were publicly and privately was in sync. And then finally, some humility and teachability, where they didn't know that they didn't think they had it all figured out, but they were looking to learn and grow and develop. And when I found people that were people that already had some influence, they were walking with Jesus, they had integrity, and they were hungry and teachable, that was somebody that I felt like I could pour into and raise up as a potential next leader. So those were some of the things that we were looking for. And I think when we talk about raising up the next generation of leaders, this element of humility is so important, because humility is not just a characteristic. It's a defining mark of the life of Jesus. Jesus described himself as humble and lowly in heart. So humility is a component of Christ likeness that we're looking for. And too often when we talk about young leaders, I know in my own generation, it was this way. There was an air of arrogance, like we knew something that somebody else didn't know. And I think we need to be careful to look for those that have this quality of humility, where they understand they still got a lot to learn and be poured into, but there's potential there that can be tapped into.
Yeah I would say, to give a better answer to the real question that you asked, Jeff, sorry, I tend to chase rabbits.
Your answer was great.
It's different when you're trying to hire staff or when you're trying to raise up leaders.
Yeah.
And so honestly, I have 7 kids and I want to raise them all to be leaders because they're my kids. Right. And when I think about ministry, ministry is not for professionals. Ministry is for everybody. It is to be our mission of the kingdom of God as Christians, to be disciple makers. And so now that I have 14 grandkids, I want them all to be leaders too. And the fact that they're mine says that I need to be training them. And so I think every pastor should look at every person in his church and should be saying, there's a potential leader. And if they have the Spirit of God alive in them, they should be able to win and train and send somebody in their influence, because everybody knows somebody that's far from God but close to them. And so I think that we need to lose the culture of professionals, and we need to raise the bar of every person needs to be a disciple of Christ who makes disciples. But there are certain things that I look for when I look for influencers. You know, you want a mature believer who has demonstrated the character of walking with Jesus and obedience, you know, and you also need somebody who's demonstrating some gifts. You know, if you don't start with character, you don't start with the Bible. But within the Bible, it says there are certain people who God has called to be equippers in the life of the church. You know, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And so you can recognize those gifts in the midst of ministry. And we need to call those guys out. We need to stop having the priority of our children going for the job that's going to make the most money and start going for the job that's going to make the most impact on the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus said, man, you're a fool to raise up treasures in this earth and to not raise up treasures in the kingdom of God. So there are certain people that we can acknowledge those gifts in them. They have people who want to follow them. They have people come to Christ because of them. They have people who are inspired by them. We need to recognize those gifts. But then I'm also looking for someone who has applied the principles of God to their family. It doesn't matter if you come from a terrible family or a very godly family. What matters is, have you taken the gospel back to your family? Have you applied that to yourself? And man, I love it when I see the gospel go upstream. A young guy gets saved and he's able to win his parents because of the influence. My dad was the first believer in his family, and he led his dad to Christ finally at the age of 74.
Wow.
But he immediately started leading all his siblings to Christ. Well, what are you seeing? You're saying, oh, there's a guy who's applying the gospel to his immediate family. Because there are a lot of guys who have terrible families and they have what they call great ministries. I'm saying, man, if the gospel is not impacting your actual family because of your influence, I don't want that guy leading in the life of the church. And then I look for experience, and whether, you know, I say all bad experience is bad, right? I want good experience. You know, if a guy was terrible leading for 10 years, he might have 10 years of experience, but it's all bad. And then you want somebody who is enjoyable. I think Vance is one of the most enjoyable, charismatic guys that I have ever known. And he didn't do that. He didn't become that. He didn't say, man, I got to become a bigger, better personality. God did that to him. And you just look for people that are like that and then point them to the gospel. Vance, you talked about recording, sports broadcasting. You would have been good at it. And you would have amounted for yourself a pile of something that doesn't matter. But you're also a great pastor and a great leader. And you are storing up for yourselves treasures that last forever and ever and ever. And that has to be something that we call our people to.
That's great. Choi, in light of what you just talked about, how important is mentorship in the developing of young leaders? How do you facilitate mentoring relationships, and particularly in how you guys do this within Salt Company and Salt Network? How important is mentorship, and how do you implement that?
Yeah, so we, in order to lead somebody, you just need to be one step ahead, right? And so we try to get all of our students to become student leaders. And then every student leader leads a student small group, same gender small group. And so as they are growing in their leadership, whether it's two, three, or four, or some guys lead groups of 20 because they're just better leaders, we want them to begin to learn to lead. And then once you have a solid connection group, we call them, and you're leading that, we'll call you to a higher stage of leadership. So mentoring in groups is where we start. But then once someone has promise, Vance, you know, the more individual care and attention you can give somebody, the faster they will grow. But you want them to emerge in a small group first. And then we have students leading students, and then we have staff leading student leaders, and then we will have staff leading the leaders of leaders. And so mentoring, to answer your question with a period, it is critical that you get time with these people one-on-one.
But I think you make an important point, Troy, in what you were saying. The guy who discipled me and mentored me, it was a two-year process. He and I met every week for about 3 hours, and he poured into me over 2 years. And really, he did that for a lot of pastors, some friends that we all have mutually, like Dean Folks. Dean Folks was mentored by the same guy that mentored me. But the guy that mentored me never had a mentor. His point was not every Timothy has a Paul. Sometimes mentoring takes place in groups. And then I think you're right. Out of those groups, we can find those special one-on-one relationships we can pour into. But I think sometimes people feel like, well, I got left out because I didn't have a personal mentor. I don't think that's always God's design for everybody. I think life change happens in community. But I do think preference would be when we can figure out a way to create those mentoring relationships, because it is a biblical principle that Paul taught, that we're to take what's been entrusted to us and entrust it to faithful men who can then entrust it to others also. And Paul also taught in Titus that the men are to mentor the men and the women are to mentor the women, and we're to pass this on from generation to generation. So I think, Troy, I agree with you completely. Mentoring is absolutely essential to the raising up and developing of leaders, but I also think it looks different in everybody's life, and you need to trust God's plan for you and how he's allowing you to be developed and cultivated and mentored.
Yeah, I would, and just to add on to that, and Vance, I know that you've had this happen a lot. You often will have guys that hear this idea of, I need a mentor. And so they'll come up to you and say, will you mentor me? You know, most of the time I say no, right? The reason I say no is because I want to mentor those people who others are asking me to mentor them. You know, Titus and Timothy were acknowledged by the community as emerging leaders. And so we only have so much time, and obviously I had to get myself to my kids and my grandkids, but you can recognize who should be mentored, who's already emerging as a leader, and go after them. Don't wait for someone to go to you. You have to have a purpose and a plan and time in your life to say, I need to go after this guy. I need to work with this gal because I see the fingerprint of God on them, and I want to form that. You know, a lot of people want to play professional sports, but if they're not athletic, they're not going to play, right?
Yeah.
And so, I want to give myself to someone who is already evidencing that God's hand is on them, and they're gonna have great impact in the local church.
So good.
Yeah, Jeff, somebody may ask the question, how do you decide who you're going to mentor? How do you find, and you know, you've heard the old adage out there before, faithful, available, teachable, the fat, you know, I'm looking for fat people. I'm looking for people that are faithful, available, and teachable. It's really kind of true. Like when I choose the people that I'm going to mentor and pour into, these are people that, man, they're already there. Every time I turn around, they're there. Like they're just faithful. They're always nipping at your heels. They're trying to learn from what you're already doing. They're available. They have time in their schedule. If you have to make it convenient for them to be able to pour into them and mentor them, you're probably pouring into and mentoring the wrong person. And my mentoring relationships that I've done for now 30 years, before I moved to Atlanta, I don't have it going yet here, but I would always meet with a group of men that I was pouring into, and we would meet at 6 a.m. on like a Wednesday morning. You say, man, that's not a very good time. Well, it was chosen difficult for a reason. I wanted to know that these people were in, like they really wanted to learn. And then there's a teachability factor. They're willing to learn. So those are some of the things that I think that Troy and I are talking about.
Yeah, I think also it's important to raise the bar for those guys to not just have expectations, but to have inspections. You've heard the adage, people don't do what you expect, they do what you inspect. And so this generation, especially, they're not called to do much anymore with artificial everything, right? Doing stuff for them. But they do want a challenge. And if you challenge them, they will step up to that challenge. They will discipline themselves. But I don't have time or tolerance for someone who's going to be undisciplined. The Apostle Paul said to John Mark, I don't want to take this slacker, right? Now, who was right? Was Barnabas or Paul? I don't know, Vance, do you know? But later, John Mark said, hey, I had an opportunity that I blew, but he stepped up to the plate. He just wasn't ready yet. Yeah. And so we're grateful for the gospel of Mark now because of him. But I want to work with the guy who's ready to be worked with. And they demonstrate that by being not only available and faithful, but they get stuff done. And I want a guy who's going to accomplish a task.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so helpful. I mean, Paul tells us, make the most use of the time, redeem the time, because the days are evil. They're fleeting. And we've got a mission, we've got a task, and there's people around us who need to hear about Jesus. Well, Troy, thank you for coming on the New Churches podcast. It's a great joy to have you on here, brother.
It's fun. It's fun to be with you guys, and I love this podcast and just really enjoy what you guys do.
Listeners, thank you. It's a joy to have you, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.